Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. So let's talk about the gender pay gap. Women, on average nationally, make about 79 cents for every dollar a man makes. That's probably a familiar number to you. But in the financial sector, the gap yawns even wider than that, 61 cents on the dollar. Now, there's a movement afoot to change that. The solution advocates are pushing for? Radical salary transparency in some of the nation's largest banks. And the woman at the center of that push is Natasha Lamb. She joins us in the studio now. She's a managing partner at Arjuna Capital, which focuses on sustainable and social impact investing. Natasha Lamb, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you so much, Meghna. It's nice to be here.
Okay, so radical salary transparency is my phrase, but what exactly are you pushing for to close the gender pay gap in the financial sector?
I think that's a pretty good phrase. Although, you know, we'd like it not to be radical. We would like it to be an industry standard. And we have filed shareholder proposals now with six banks, including, you know, Bank of America and Wells Fargo, JP Morgan, Citigroup, asking them to close the gender pay gap, but also report what it is. And we're asking them to do that because, you know, like the technology sector, which we engaged with last year on this issue and which was very proactive. Actually, seven of the nine companies that we engaged with came forward, published their gender pay gap, and committed to close it. And, you know, we're seeing a very sort of night and day difference and with the financial sector.
I was just going to ask how Citi and Wells Fargo and BOA and JP Morgan responded.
Well, you know, they're opposing the proposal. So although it will go to a vote at all of those companies' annual meetings this spring, the board has come out and said we oppose that kind of transparency. And, you know, really, as investors, we see this as a data point where companies need to be accountable.
Let me just jump in here.
Yeah.
Have the boards said specifically why they oppose salary transparency? First of all, I'm going back. I'm so sorry. Are you asking for transparency at all levels or at the executive level, the C-suite level? What level are you? What are you asking for?
And I think this is why it's not so radical and why these companies should be putting forward their number. We're asking for a general company-wide number.
Okay.
And we're asking for, you know, basically equal pay for equal work, same levels, same job. What's your number? And in the tech field, we saw that they were pretty small. And, you know, in part, you know, some companies, after we negotiated with them, they came out the next day and said, this is our gender pay gap. Other companies needed to take time, do the analysis, and then report it. And you have to expect that by the time, you know, between the time they agreed to report and when they reported, there were some adjustments made.
Okay. And so more specifically then, what are the boards saying about why they don't want this?
I mean, well, they're paying a lot of lip service to it. They're saying, you know, that they think it's important, that they're looking at it internally, but they're not willing to be transparent and say what it is. So it's really a continuation of a, you know, trust us approach. And that trust us approach has kept the gender pay equity conversation in a black box for decades. And at the current rate of change, women won't be paid a fair wage for another 42 years. Hmm. So we'd like to see that change.
Yeah. I mean, let's be honest, boards tend to frown on shareholder activism in general, right? So then you're asking for something which I can imagine they just think would open up a whole can of worms. But I mean, for good reason. I want to go back to what you were saying about how this worked for you in the tech sector, right? Because I'm seeing that, for example, eBay shareholders were asked to vote twice on a similar resolution.
That's right.
And the first year, only 8% of shareholders voted in support, but there was a big change the next time around. What happened there?
That's right. So in 2015, we went to eBay with a first-of-its-kind proposal. The board opposed it. It only got an 8% vote. The next year, last year, we filed the proposal with nine tech firms. including eBay. And a lot of them were much more proactive and, you know, said, OK, yes, we're willing to do this. And Intel just published for the second year now that they have 100% gender pay equity. But as peer firm after peer firm started to commit to this, and you saw Apple and Amazon and Expedia and Microsoft, you know, move in the direction toward transparency, the investors started to see this as a competitive issue. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they said if you're not putting out this data, then you're actually at a competitive disadvantage attracting and retaining top female talent. And that's really what we're trying to get to, is how we can close the gender gap in general.
Yeah.
And the gender pay gap is a structural barrier that's preventing that. But, you know, when it went to a vote last year at eBay, it got a 51% vote of investors. So, you know, that was pretty remarkable.
So let me ask you, for example, with Intel and the 100% pay equity, and you mentioned Apple, Amazon, Facebook, Microsoft, et cetera. I understand, though, that those numbers didn't necessarily include total compensation? Is that right?
Actually, for the most part, they did.
Okay.
When Apple first came out, for instance, at their annual meeting, instead of our proposal going to a vote, Tim Cook came out and said, this is our base salary gender pay gap. And he didn't include bonus and equity. And we really pressed and said, you know, this is the total compensation package. You need to be taking all of it into account. And later in the year, they did publish that data. And we saw that with most of the companies.
They did. Okay, because, you know, going back to the finance sector, I was thinking that those other aspects, bonuses, equity, et cetera, may matter even more. So are you asking for total compensation as well?
Absolutely. And, you know, both in tech and in the financial sector, you know, bonus and stock can play a really large role in the compensation package. So we certainly don't want to leave that out.
Yeah. So, Natasha, if I may ask you, I'd love to hear about your personal experience. I mean, this is your world. You're a managing partner now at Arjuna Capital. So have you personally experienced a pay inequity in terms of your career so far?
Absolutely. I've worked in finance all of my career, and you know I've not only experienced pay inequity, you know, for the most part I just experienced gender disparity, and I think a lot of what most women experience in a male dominated field. But you know, I found myself many times sitting around a conference table with all white men in suits and me, and I was sort of the you know, this interesting outlier. But that's, you know, that's the banking world. And, you know, when you have female financial advisors making 61 cents on the dollar versus what men make, that's an enormous gap. And if you're
it's a 40% gap, right?
It's a 40% gap. Yeah. And women are actually 20 to 30% more likely to leave the financial services sector than any other sector of our economy. So there's you know, there's the gender pay gap, there's cultural issues at play. And if you're going to solve the issue of not having enough women in positions of leadership, and the reason you want that is that that actually leads to more diversity of thought and better financial outcomes. And that's on a host of metrics, from return on equity to profit margin to stock price performance. So you need to be adjust all of the things that are sort of, you know, preventing women from moving up that ladder.
So in jobs and years past, I mean, how was there a moment, a specific moment, for example, that you could tell us where you found out that, you know, you were doing like work with a colleague and the difference in compensation was enormous?
Yeah, I mean, I never had the transparent conversations with colleagues. Yeah. And that's actually something where, you know, Massachusetts just passed one of the strongest equal pay laws in the country. And that was an update. We were actually the first state to have an equal pay law after World War II. And, you know, that kind of conversation before, companies could come after you for that. That's now changed. And there's more transparency employees can go and they can actually ask their employers what their peers are being paid, and they can advocate for themselves. So I recommend, you know, everyone listening to do that. But what I do know is that I was being paid below industry averages, and, you know, that certainly was not equitable.
Right. Now, some of these votes, these shareholder votes, could be taking place fairly soon, spring or early summer, right?
Yeah, so the first votes will be at the end of April, with the remainder, you know, May through June.
And are you feeling, are you feeling optimistic about it?
I feel very optimistic. I mean, the amount of investor support that we saw for these proposals last year was really incredible. And, you know, frankly, you brought up shareholder proposals before. You know, these proposals usually don't garner a majority vote. That's very rare. But even if they're getting, if you're getting a 20% vote, that is such a strong signal to management that something needs to change.
Well, Natasha Lamb is managing partner at Arjuna Capital, which focuses on sustainable and social impact investing. But she's been talking to us today about her push for more transparency in the regarding the gender wage gap in the financial sector. Natasha Lamb, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Meghna.